Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
We've got Robert Crane.
In 3, 2, 1.
He's a Microsoft MVP, a Microsoft
certified trainer,
an Office 365
specialist, blogger, podcaster, social media enthusiast, and one-of-a-kind speaker who has a gift for explaining tech to the average person so they can understand it.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
There's also myself, Mark Keane. All right, let's move on. I'm the voiceover guy, producer of this podcast, blogger, speaker,
an Azure
architect,
and Microsoft
MVP who specializes in helping people with a journey to Microsoft Azure. You are listening to the
Need to Know podcast.
It's your source for the very latest in Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations all about Azure and Office 365.
Hi, I'm Seth Juarez, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Welcome along, everybody, to a Need to Know podcast. And there's something different for this episode. I wonder what it is. Mark, welcome. And can you tell us what's new for this episode?
Yes, your voice sounds a tiny bit different.
Ah, gee whiz, it must be some tablets that you've given me to take. Happy pills.
No. So you're, what, down in Melbourne? I think you're coming down with a cold by the sounds of it.
No, that's Melbourne. That's what you call coming down to Melbourne. So it is a little bit cooler than it normally is in other parts of the world, but great place to enjoy some technology down here.
But also, too, you don't have your Rode microphone with you either.
Here we go. Everybody, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We get picked on because we don't have our Rode microphone with us. So
just so you know the difference, this is Rode. And then your turn, Rob.
This is
Plantronics.
This is not Rode. So the angry man across the microphone with a Rode. What's been happening in your world? You've been very busy, obviously, and you've come back from a major event.
Well, first off, I've got to ask you a question. What did you think of the new intro?
The new intro. It's magic, eh? What about all the celebrities that you've managed to get on and basically spruik the podcast? That's great. It means that we're going to get all these new listeners. Was that hard to do?
I'm pretty chuffed. It was not too difficult. It was just a case of having the brand new iPhone 7 Plus 256 gig, the best you can get. And then with that iPhone comes with it a half-decent microphone, not as good as a Rode microphone, by the way. However, it has a decent microphone on there itself, and you just use the built-in voice memo app on the iPhone and knock yourself out and use it as a microphone. Go crazy. And so basically, it was a case of walking around Ignite and grabbing people, walking up to them and asking them to say a short little phrase into the iPhone mic. And I found out very quickly too, you've got to be careful with the p's because it'll pop. So you just hold it a little bit back, but the mic picks it up quite well and it adds that authenticity to it as well. So yeah, we got about roughly 15 people to do their little spiel. So it sounds pretty good, and we'll be shuffling them around and sort of spicing them up a bit as the weeks progress and the episodes progress.
No, I think it's great. You've done a great job there, and I think it gives, a bit of a refresh to the intro, and again, let us know what you think of that new intro, Mark's hard work there, so don't forget to send us some feedback. Probably quick and easiest way is via the Twitter, so I appreciate that, Mark. That was
That's okay.
Real good step forward. I think it's good to get some celebrities. I think that was probably... How'd you go actually getting the rich and famous to talk? Was it difficult to pull in the celebrities?
Look, speaking of celebrities, we were on the way to Ignite in the taxi from the office in Sydney to the airport, right? So in the taxi, I was in the back of the taxi with my colleague, a guy called Daniel Apps, who's been on this podcast before. He was presenting. And while we're in the taxi, I said to Daniel, hey, guess what, Dan? We're going up to Ignite on the Gold Coast from Sydney. And knowing our luck, and I said, there's a possibility Scott Guthrie would be on the same plane. Because if you think about it for a sec, Scott's got to make that massive trip over to Australia to Ignite on the Gold Coast. Now, the main hub in Australia is Sydney. So he'd be stupid not to come to Sydney either before or after to meet with big customers or Microsoft's head office itself. So I was sort of correct. And because we were standing at the gate waiting to board the plane, Daniel and myself, and basically as I was talking to Daniel, I looked behind and I could see Scott Guthrie in, he wasn't wearing a red shirt, he was wearing a suit, but it was definitely Scott Guthrie. And I said, Daniel, turn around, Scott Guthrie's there. And he wouldn't believe me at first. He was, yeah, right. And then all of a sudden he turned around and said, should have seen the look on his face. Scott Guthrie was on the plane, so I was correct. But the other thing that I was hoping was, and I was a bit naive into thinking that he would be sitting sort of in between us in the exit row seat, because we got on the plane and I turned around and he was actually following us down the little, what's that little tunnel on the way to the plane? He was actually following us down that tunnel because we got on first. However, when I turned around, he stopped at business class. So Scott Guthrie sat in business class, obviously, as you do, being the vice president of the Cloud and Enterprise Group at Microsoft. So yeah, and then we got off the plane at the Gold Coast after the short flight, and I had a quick word to Scott Guthrie at the airport. But that didn't last for long because he had not one, not two, not three. He had four people meet him at the Gold Coast airport to usher him away straight to the conference, straight to the convention center. This is on the Monday afternoon prior because he had to do rehearsals for his keynote.
And you were present in the keynote. Did it go very well for him?
The keynote itself?
Yeah.
Well, how's this? Scott Guthrie, when I was talking to him at the airport, he gave me his email address. And I said, look, hey, Scott, good to meet you. Great to meet you as always. And the video that's online on YouTube, Scott Guthrie wearing a red shirt, you know, the one where he's choosing all the red shirts and in his wardrobe, and he picks the polo shirt, which is, yep, the one that he's happy with. I basically sort of sent him a link to that. I said, hey, by the way, looking forward to the keynote. Don't forget to wear your red shirt. And he comes up on the keynote on stage and he's wearing his red shirt. So I like to think that that's because of my email that I sent him. He basically wore his red shirt. However, the date of Ignite was actually on Valentine's Day. So I think he wore the red shirt because of the red flowers as well. But anyway, yeah, good old Scott Guthrie never ceases to amaze me, never fails. He delivered a touchdown of a keynote as always.
Oh, that's great. What about the rest of the Ignite experience? Was that worthwhile? What was the best part of it?
Well, look, I had a special invite to go to Troy Hunt's place on the Gold Coast. And Troy Hunt, those of you who know who that is, he's been on the podcast a few times before. And he does a lot of videos on his social media channels about him with his jet ski, him sitting outside the house on the water and things like that. And so there was a little invite that I had that came through to go to his place, had a pre-Ignite barbecue. And that was pretty, I was very, very happy that I got that little invite, and a little bit nervous because there's a lot of big name people there. So there's a whole bunch of MVPs there. There was a whole bunch of Microsoft regional directors there. There was people from Microsoft themselves that were there. So I felt a little bit of it like a fish out of water. And I thought to myself straight away, I thought, well, you know, I'll just have to just be myself and I'll talk to these people and just be normal, because that's pretty much what they're expecting. And it was good of Troy to invite me and think of me and bring me along. So that was really, really good. The kickoff to Ignite, the barbecue, we had fresh lobster and crab for dinner. Now, Troy's wife, Kylie, was telling me that they catch all this seafood live just outside the back of their house along the canal on the Gold Coast. So they get like all the fish that swim by and the crabs. They got special cages they put out there to catch all these things. So that's pretty cool. We had fresh seafood. So that was also good. But Channel 9 were there at Ignite. They were doing their thing. Seth Juarez and Golnaz were there doing the recordings, doing the interviews, interviewing all the people. They were there for a couple of days, but it sort of fizzled out halfway through, as it always does. So Channel 9 sort of packed up on the Thursday morning. They weren't there for the last 2 days. They were there for the first 2 days interviewing people. And also, Troy Hunt sort of left halfway through as well, because I was talking to Troy at the conference on the Wednesday, which is the second day. He was doing his session, and then all of a sudden, we didn't see Troy for about 24 hours. He was just gone. And turns out he was on a plane over to San Francisco for another conference. The busy life that he leads.
Yeah, like I said, it was good to see. And what about the actual, let's start with the social events. What about the social stuff around the Ignite session? I saw they had a, you know, like flying drones and Xbox nights, and what was that like?
Well, that was on the Thursday night. So those of you who have been there before who knows the history, and Rob, we met at one of these things. They had Dreamworld one of the Thursday nights where they just, everybody jumped on the bus to go to Dreamworld for 3 hours, 6 till 9, and then come back again. I think the year after that was Movie World, where everyone just did the same thing, jumped on the bus, went to Movie World for 3 hours and came back. But this time around was a little bit different. They did it all at the convention center itself, and so they had all these different rooms cordoned off. So, as you said, they had like a room for drones where you can go in there and fly these drones and a whole bunch of people watching. Then they had another area where they had like people dressed in big fat suits, sumo suits, and did sumo wrestling. You could only do two at a time. Then if you went into the main arena, you had like Xbox on the big screen with four Xbox controllers for about roughly, you know, 100 or 200 people that were in there. And then downstairs in the car park was another area cordoned off where they had pinball machines, arcade machines, and laser skirmish. So it was all these, whatever you wanted, sort of whatever you felt like doing, they had it on offer. And I must say that I wasn't overly impressed, and the feedback that I heard, what I was hearing, was it was okay. I mean, they tried to spice it up and try to be a little bit different this year by having it all at the convention center, and it did run a little bit later than normal because 9 o'clock was the original cutoff when you went to Dreamworld and Movie World, because obviously they had to get people back and buses and things like that. But this went to around about 10, 10:15, where they called it a night and sort of kicked everybody out. But not many people sort of had many good things to say about the event. So possibly next year they might sort of change it back to one of the theme parks, I would imagine. I hope.
That's interesting. It looked pretty good from the, you know, reports that I saw and the pictures and all that. So that's interesting. Well, didn't get that positive feedback. I think it's a good idea. I mean, it's obviously a big pain in the neck, you know, transporting all the cattle from the convention center to the Dreamworld or wherever the theme park, and then getting them all back and getting them on time and, you know, feeding them and giving them a lot of alcohol to make them happy. So, interesting. All right, well, what about the actual reason that you went, the technical side of it? Or, hang on, let's step back again.
Do you want me to read some stats really quickly?
No. Let's save that. We want to save that. We've got a new beginning. We want to make sure that we encourage people to stay for the complete episode so we get value for our introduction. Okay. I saw that you also did a number of presentations. You had the large crowd around you. You got some tweets on that. How was presenting some technology to the crowds that attended Ignite?
Well, I wasn't sort of lucky enough to get a main session, which is the, I think they call the breakout sessions at Ignite. However, I did another two sessions, which are similar. So I can say that I presented at Ignite, and I did two. So one of them was the one in the ILT. So that stands for Instructor-Led Labs. So the way that runs is there's a group of people in a lab. There's about roughly 20, 25, 30 people around a group of tables with computers and stuff, and these labs are set up. And then there's a presenter, i.e. me, who basically kicks off the lab. And so you present about the topic for the first 10, 20 minutes, like with a PowerPoint slide presentation, similar to what you do in a breakout session, and you walk around the room, there's a wireless mic. And I did mine, there was OMS security and compliance. However, when I looked through it to prepare, it turned out it wasn't OMS security and compliance at all. It was actually Azure Security Center. And as you know, Azure Security Center is completely different to OMS security and compliance, and there was no operations management suite stuff in there at all. So I had to quickly apologize at the kickoff as to, hey, thanks for coming to the session. By the way, there's no OMS in this session, even though the title says OMS security and compliance. And then I had to quickly upskill on Azure Security Center, which was not too difficult because it's only like a little feature in the portal, and it's all self-explanatory. And I had to quickly sort of talk about that and the benefits and all sorts of things. So it went all right. I mean, we had a fairly full room of people coming to do the lab, and they got a lot out of it, and they said thanks. And the other one that I did was a little Make Yourself Awesome MVP area, which was set up in the main expo hall at the Microsoft Pavilion. And there was a little section there where there was a timetable where MVPs come up and sort of talk about different things that they're good at. And each little session went for about 20 minutes. And that was just there like ad hoc on the side. It was more like a, you know, like those when you're walking around in Sydney and stuff like that, you see those buskers on the side where people just see it happening and they just congregate around the area and they all of a sudden get a massive crowd happening. Well, that was pretty much similar, except it was a little bit more planned because you had my name and the topic up on the screen all week. Mark Keane doing Manking Awesome demo videos. And that was pretty much it. So because it was happening on the Friday, I sort of came, and this was after the Thursday, expecting everybody will be sort of asleep and still or hungover and everything else. But what a time. It kicked off at 9:50. So there I was preparing, getting it ready. A few people were there. And all of a sudden, I got into it. And then there was a whole massive big crowd of people that came. So better than expected. And I had to talk fairly loudly because the little area where it was wasn't really set up for a massive crowd of people. So there wasn't any mics here. Although there was a screen I could present on, go through and sort of talk above everybody so they can hear me. And the benefit was I'm nearly 2 meters tall, so the voice sort of did portray out above their heads. It didn't get drowned out in their bodies. It sort of, everybody I think sort of could hear, because everybody was looking and you could see they were paying attention. They were sort of nodding and, you know, making eye contact and things like that. So that was that went for 20 minutes and good feedback out of that. So yeah, that was really good. And then one of the ladies afterwards said you should make a video on it, like a demo video on making demo videos, which was it's pretty cool.
Good. All right. So what about the actual sessions that you attended? So the sessions where you sat in and took in the technical goodness from those speaking at Ignite, what were they like?
Well, look, I didn't really go to many sessions, to tell the truth, because the reason for... one of the reasons why I went is because it was free, because I was lucky enough to get selected to do the not only the instructor-led labs, but also the self-paced learning labs, the hands-on labs. And part of that is you're called like a learning guide is the term that they use. So I was effectively one of, I think, 30-ish people. I was a learning guide, and we were rostered on to walk around the learning guide, the hands-on labs area, where people can just come and do a lab with no instructor-led, but basically themselves at their own pace and do a lab. And so I was rostered on for about 3 sessions a day, each session going for about an hour and a half, just walking around, helping people when they put their hand up. It was a bit draining, got a lot of sore feet, but with that in mind, I couldn't then go and attend any sessions because they were happening sort of at different times of the day right throughout. And when it wasn't happening, I was also doing a little bit of work as well. So the only sessions I did sort of go to were sessions that that I knew of the people. So there's about two sessions I went to in total, which is a bit unfortunate. So I'll definitely be watching them online. And then as well, there's a link which I found online which you can go to. Somebody's already put a script up there, a PowerShell script, to download all the Ignite 2017 sessions. And so I'll put a link to that in the show notes on my blog site, the link, and I'll definitely be making use of that myself so I can download all the sessions and watch them offline.
Okay, so I know you're busting to tell us, but what about the stats? I know you've collected those and diligently provided those, so what are the stats from Microsoft Ignite?
Okay, so there's a few of them, and I should have taken more photos of them, but the ones that I've sort of taken note of was these ones here. How many cups of coffee do you think were consumed in total? And I will say that this year was a record.
1 million.
No, 8,800. Exactly. Well, look, I don't know if it's exactly, but it says 8,800.
And how many of those were consumed by yourself?
Probably about half of them.
Cool.
So we had Gino on previously, remember, with our podcast, one of our presenters, Gino Barletta. And one of his tips for the stamina at Ignite to get through was to don't drink so much coffee because it's dehydrating and drink lots of water. But I tried to do that, but there was so much coffee around, you couldn't really help yourself.
You're an addict, aren't you? Just admit it. Move on to the next stat.
How much data was used on their free internet and Wi-Fi around the conference? And I must say, the Wi-Fi connection was really, really good. It didn't miss a beat. All the presenters were using it. All the hands-on lab people and ILT lab people were using it, and the delegates were using it. So with all that in mind, so everybody using it, how much data do you think in 1 week? Now, I will say this. Me, myself, for an average family, I've got a 1 terabyte limit for a month on my Big Pond cable connection. So 1 terabyte a month. Now, you think the amount of people going to Ignite in 1 week, how much data?
1 million terabytes.
Again, you want to take another guess?
No.
Not that many?
No.
Okay, 4.7 terabytes, which I didn't think that was that big, 4.7 terabytes, because I thought it would have been more than that. Because if you, as I said, like I've got 1 terabyte here for four people in the family, we're just doing average stuff.
Not,
like,
we're not really streaming videos. We're just basically checking our emails, putting up notes. So I get that. It's not as though they're spending lots and lots of time consuming lots and lots of media. They're probably just checking their emails and maybe doing a few RDS sessions and things like that. So that sort of makes sense because they're there mainly to pay attention,
yes,
hopefully, to the event. So.
Yeah,
makes sense to me.
Could have been more than that, I reckon. Anyway, it was still a lot of data was consumed. And then when we're at the end, after the lock note at the end, we were sitting there, we were just about told to get to be kicked out, because the reason why we hung around, we had a meeting set up, me and a couple of people from work. And one of the ladies that came through, one of the organisers, was saying, hey, are you guys going to be here for a while? Because this is at the time everyone was leaving. And she said, oh, we're sort of kicking everybody out, we're sort of packing up, and we said we're only going to be another 5 to 10 minutes, and then she said to us, oh, we're going to be calm, we're going to be turning the internet off. And I thought, that's pretty cool, turning the internet off, the internet they put on. So it's a case of sort of walking around to the office where the internet was plugged in, the fiber for the event, and actually and turning the internet off. And that's pretty much what they did, which is they went back to what they had normally, which I don't know what it was, but it probably wouldn't have been as good as this.
Well, I think you'll find that obviously they're probably paying by the minute. If it's in Azure billing, it's probably paid by the second. So
yeah, you're right.
Makes sense, so that you don't. So all the attendees do actually head home rather than continuing to work in the background. So it sort of makes sense. And again, they're probably just paying for it on a demand basis. So it makes sense to turn it off as quickly as possible.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they probably had to take it with them, put it in their pocket, put it back on the plane, and back.
Well,
to
they probably had to. They probably had to turn it into flight mode so they could take it back to Sydney.
That's it, and then put it back into head office.
That's right. Oh well, it sounds as though you had a good time overall. What's your recommendation from your experience of attending Ignite for our listeners? Is it worthwhile going? Should they go?
Would
they make plans to go next year?
Look, overall, better than expected. Honestly, a lot better than expected. I think the big take out of it is networking, as pretty much every single one of our guests in the lead up to Ignite was actually saying, is networking. And it is true. And if it's your first time at Ignite and you don't know anybody, well, don't worry, just go anyway, because you'll just talk to people. Because everyone's there with similar interests. And people do talk. They're not rude. Somebody talks to you and they say, oh, okay. They won't walk off. They'll talk to you. And just, as long as you sort of just be yourself, don't say anything idiotic, just be normal, and you'll fit in, because it is a conference with like-minded individuals. We're all there having fun. It is a fun week. We're away from our families and stuff like that, sort of big nights, late nights and things like that, but that's all part of the fun. And I must say that when I was in the keynote, I looked around in the audience, sort of sideways and behind and up and around, and I did notice that numbers were a little bit down on previous years, and the lock note was even more down, because by that stage a lot of people sort of left and didn't go to the lock note, unfortunately. It was sort of half, 50% of the people on average from what I was looking at went to the lock note compared to the keynote.
Well, like I said, I think you'll find that those conferences tend to be rather long, and people have over-caffeinated, so they do need to head home and get back to jobs to actually pay for that. So it kind of makes sense. You do see that in conferences, and it's unfortunate, I think, but Again, it does make sense, and that seems to be the trend. So interesting that the numbers are down. Obviously, it is an expense for a lot of people to attend, and
it is, it is.
Mainly thing also is time away from the business as well and the families. So look, I think that it's expected. I think also the fact that it is fully recorded, you can watch it online. So a lot of people may look at it and say, well, you know what, I'll just, you know, use the PowerShell script, download it all and work it through it. But they do miss out on the networking, as you indicated. So look, there's a lot of benefit. I think I would also hesitate to suggest that part of it is there is still a significant element of people who haven't embraced the Office 365, the Azure, the cloud, the Microsoft changing. So that may also have an effect, but for those that attended, I think it's totally worthwhile. Sounds as you got lots out of it and would recommend it to everybody else to go along and make time for it.
Yeah, look, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I think it doesn't really help. Sorry, I just had to clear my throat. It doesn't really help the fact that I think the AWS conference is free. Now, don't quote me on that. This is what somebody was saying is, yeah, their one is doesn't cost any money. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this world of competition. Now, I'll just go through this. Now, there was this news article that came through on the Twitter sphere just the other day. Microsoft Azure is gaining on AWS and Google. So Microsoft Azure has more than doubled its revenue in 2016. So more than doubled, reaching $2.7 billion, according to an estimate from JP Morgan analysts. So just to give you an overall explanation so you know how everyone is positioned. So for the same period, AWS reported more than $12 billion in revenue. This is compared to Azure's $2.7 billion. And the Google Cloud Platform's revenue was more than $1 billion, which is just behind. So Microsoft Cloud itself reached an annualized cloud run rate of more than $14 billion. So that beat AWS. However, you can't really compare that number, $14 billion, to that of AWS of $12 billion, because that number takes into consideration both Azure and Office 365 together. But in saying that, the Ignite conference does incorporate both Azure and Office 365, so that's, they're making a lot more money. They're getting a lot more revenue than what AWS is. So I'll just finish, go through this. The revenue from the Office department was $23.6 billion for the end of 2016. Server products and tools was $19.2 billion, and Windows was $14.7 billion. And Satya Nadella has vowed again that Microsoft will reach $20 billion in the annualized cloud revenue by the company's fiscal year 2018, which ends June 30 in 2018. So there you go. So a few little stats. So whether or not they follow AWS's footsteps in the conference price of everybody going to Ignite for either a discounted price, or I don't know whether they can make it free or not.
No, but, I don't. Look, I don't think no. So. I think the thing, if you've ever been to an AWS conference, it's a completely different kettle of fish. It's not nearly as deep, as involved. I think the TechNet is obviously aimed at the IT professional. It's aimed at the developer. It's aimed for the person. And then again, it's really cutting edge technology. So I think they are very different conferences. I don't think one would generally affect the other. But obviously, you know, there may be some crossover in this day and age. But I think that you know, the Microsoft conference will say it is. I think it's a success. I think it will continue to grow. I think that the difference may be here in Australia. I think if you look at the conferences in the US and overseas, they'll continue to grow and focus. And Microsoft's really, you know, key on setting up, you know, for a year and spacing them out. In Australia, probably a little bit different, smaller population. Obviously, if you want to get people like Scott Guthrie to come and present, it's a long way and a long plane trip for him to come all the way out. Great that he did it, but it does make it a bit difficult. So we'll see how it goes. You know, it will be interesting to see. There's been some ups and downs with TechEd and Ignite over the years, but as long as this year was positive and continues to be, we'll obviously see it again. But there are some unique challenges given our location and our population size. But basically, huge amount of value, I think, from anyone. And if they haven't already, you can start consuming the videos that were pre-recorded and ready to go. So we certainly encourage people to do that. And I think when we start working through them, we'll try and nominate some ones which were worthwhile for people to listen to. But that said, we also would recommend people work through our podcast, because we did a huge amount of work to get all these podcasts out on time, and we managed to do that thanks to Mark's ability to work with caffeine in his system, get all those out on time. So I think those went pretty well. I think we're pretty happy with all those, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, so, we've got a whole bunch of them out, and now we've basically set the bar now, and we've got to up our game. So rather than once a week, we've got to do it once a day now.
Yes.
If we can.
So we'll try. We might do is, again, we'll ask for some feedback from our listeners. I think we might ask people to let us know what they thought was their best episodes, or what they thought they really enjoyed, and we might do a bit of a ranking, perhaps, like they do in Ignite, to work out the most popular or the most liked podcast. There's quite a few there that you can choose from. We'll bring those results to you. And again, we really like to get people to provide feedback. The other thing that I will mention when it comes to feedback is that we've also had a Facebook page for a while, so that's at N2K Podcast, much like our Twitter handle. So certainly encourage people to go to that and provide interaction directly between podcasts. Let us know the feedback. We'll answer that and reply to that as we do on Twitter, as we do on email. So getting back to the boring day-to-day stuff, Mark, have we got any Azure news we can share with our listeners?
Price cuts. Yay, price cuts. No one wants to spend heaps of money. Everyone likes to have a bargain. So last year, Scott Guthrie himself said that Microsoft would no longer compete on price and compete on value instead. However, Microsoft have finally dropped prices on some of their virtual machines in Azure. So Microsoft's F1 to F16 series of VMs are up to 26% cheaper, while the A1 series is about 51% cheaper. And this combines with Azure Blob hot and cold storage price cuts of 38 to 26% respectively. Prices are slightly different per Azure region, but the prices I've just read out are targeted at Azure's UK South region. Now, I just checked my portal and going through, and you can set up a FS2 virtual machine with 2 cores, which is fairly decent, 4 gigs of RAM, so it's not too slow, it's a fairly decent server, with SSD, so it's premium, and it's going to cost you $123.19 per month. Now, that is much, much cheaper than before, because I think it was just over the $200 mark previously. So that's a solid state VM. And don't forget, with solid state, you're getting the high SLA of 99.9% with that virtual machine. $123 a month, and that's retail. That's RRP I'm seeing now in the portal. That's brilliant. That's really, really good. So go and set yourself up a virtual machine in Azure. And don't forget, you can make use of the Azure automation and shut those virtual machines down as per schedule, because it's only per minute billing as well. So you're only going to be paying per minute. And if you shut them down when you're not using them and only power them up automatically or manually when you do need them, well, you're going to be paying less than that $123 per month.
Cool. All right. So lots and lots of bargains there. Obviously, the price continues to be driven down as more and more people get on board with the service and Microsoft brings new virtual machines online. I think that one of the recommendations generally in the SMB space is that a lot of people aggregate their machines into one massive server, typically a small business server. The way to think about it in Azure is the ability now to break these things out. So an A machine may make a good destination for something like just your Active Directory. So rather than having that combined on a box to do other things, thanks to Azure and the per minute billing and the price reductions, you can now break that out into individual components and just maybe run your AD on a very simple machine for pennies a month. So that is the big benefit there. So let me just chime in here with a bit of Office 365 news. Microsoft has released a new site for its Office 365 roadmap. So this is the site that you go to have a look at the latest features that are rolling out, what updates Microsoft is bringing, what it has cancelled, if any services have been cancelled. So again, they've updated the look and the feel and improved some readability around that, so we'll put that link in the show notes. But if you're looking to see what's going on with Office 365 on a regular basis, make sure that you check out the Office 365 roadmap, new and improved, and that will certainly give you lots of information to keep updated with the product. Anything else, Mark? What else have you got in Azure?
IoT and AI, so artificial intelligence, are transforming cars with intelligent mobility. So car makers like Renault, Nissan, Volvo, BMW and Toyota. Did I pronounce that right? Renault?
No, you didn't. You failed, and you're not a car person, so we will forgive you. And
go on, Rob.
We'll beat
Take
you
it away.
To Renault.
Renault-Nissan. Okay, Renault-Nissan, Volvo, BMW and Toyota. They're all embracing the Internet of Things to provide new ways to help their drivers stay safe, connected and productive during their time on the road. So rather than attempting to build their own connected car, Microsoft are providing automakers with the platform that does the heavy lifting for them across multiple areas of connectivity. So all these cars these days, so all new cars, most of them are like data centers on wheels. And by 2020, 90% of new cars will have connectivity. By 2025, 100% of new cars will be connected cars, a 35% increase from today. And by 2030, 15% of all new cars will be autonomous and will send, receive, and analyze vast amounts of data. Microsoft is helping with this digital transformation with the Microsoft Connected Vehicle Platform. So the Microsoft Connected Vehicle Platform is an agile platform for the automotive industry designed to empower manufacturers to create custom connected driving experiences. It aims to address five key priorities: telemetrics and predictive maintenance, productivity and digital life, intelligent and contextual navigation, consumer insight and engagement, helping build autonomous driving capabilities, which I'm all for myself. The Microsoft Connected Vehicle Platform takes advantage of a set of core cloud services and productivity technologies using Azure's IoT Hub to communicate between the car and the cloud with services like Cortana Intelligence. And it all provides advanced navigation, predictive maintenance, remote monitoring of car features, in-car productivity, and intelligent personal assistance for drivers. Link to that in the show notes, as well as a pretty little graphic which talks you through it. And Rob, I'm all for the whole self-driving car thing. You know why? Because
you can't drive?
No, I can drive. Other people can't. And I get really frustrated when I'm driving in the road with idiots. There's always idiots in this world who don't know how to drive. Like the other day, I was sort of passing somebody. The lane was sort of closing off. It's one of those extra lanes where you can pass.
Merging is the word, yes.
Yeah, merging. And coming to the end, and this car just wants to come across to my side. No indicator, nothing. Doesn't even see me. And I just about got crushed between it and the car coming the opposite direction. Would have been nice, not. But yeah, there's a lot of people on the road who simply just don't have a clue, and they're just selfish. They don't even think about other people. And so this whole self-driving aspect of cars, when it comes out and becomes mainstream, will just make sure that it'll remove all the idiots off the road. And my take on it, my gut feeling, is it'll increase the flow and traffic will just naturally flow.
Just, I love your world of utopia with rainbows, unicorns and pixies, because now that all the cars are connected, now all the cars that are running software, guess what? Thanks to Troy Hunt, they're probably all going to mean that they're hackable and pwnable. So that will also present a nice challenge for people now that we have devices which weigh, what, 1.5, 2 tons, spinning around the world, run by software, not by people. So maybe. We shall see. So anyway, that is certainly a future that is coming very fast, and I think a lot of people would agree with Mark that that is going to be something to look forward to enjoy on the roads, to get peace of mind. So some other news here from Office 365 is that Microsoft has recently announced that it is removing some of the limits when it comes to copying files in the interface with SharePoint and OneDrive. They've upped the limit from 50 megabytes to 500 megabytes when you want to start doing file copies directly in the browser. And they also now allow you the ability, when you do multiple downloads, it will combine them into a zip and then download that for you. So if you need to take files directly from a SharePoint document library or OneDrive for Business, you can select all of the files that you desire and click download. It will then pile them all up into a zip and download that as a single download for you. The other thing that I will mention also is that Delve, the search functionality in Delve. So if you go to the top left-hand corner of Delve, you're able to search across all the information in your Office 365 environment. They are changing the way that that search works. So when you click in that little box in the top left corner of your Delve, you will see all the documents and information you've been working on recently, even without typing in anything. Then you'll start typing what you're searching for. It'll give you context-sensitive information, and then you can drill into that further. So again, look for a new and improved searching functionality when it comes to Delve. And the way you find Delve is you go up to your app launcher in usually the top left-hand corner, select that, and you'll find a big D. And think of Delve as a single pane of glass across all your information sources in Office 365. More Azure news from you, Mike?
Yeah, Mike?
Well, you know, you get confused here. Self-driving cars just totally distracted me, so.
Yeah, just like when you pronounce Renault.
You obviously don't have much continental sophistication in you, so it is Renault. So,
well, I'm sure it's pronounced differently overseas somewhere.
Of course, because it's a European mark. So anyway, back on the Azure stuff, what have we got?
Okay, so question for you. Out of all the jobs for Azure people, so out there you were talking about project managers, sales and marketing, developers, architects, designers, managed services delivery, testers and stuff. What do you think, Rob, out of all of these jobs, is the highest paid?
Ooh, I would say a marketer.
Uh-uh. That's not part of it. Well, it could be, but it's not listed here. Basically, there's a range of jobs being spun out with Microsoft Azure instances. So as Azure matures, so does jobs. They also mature and they also come out of nowhere. They sort of pop up new jobs and things, and also too the salaries that go with them. So the Azure related positions for which companies are paying the most is enterprise architects. So this is all based in the US. So let me just read these out. So if you're an enterprise architect in the US, $125,000 US is what you paid. Developers just behind that, $100,000 US. See, I've always said developers is the future, and it's close. It's number two in the highest paid roles. So if you're a developer, happy days. If you're not, make that transition from an IT pro to a developer. It's not that difficult. You just need a bit of time and discipline. Number three is in line with developer. It's sales and marketing, which is 100,000. Project services delivery, 90,000 US. UI UX designer, $82,500 US. Managed services delivery, $77,500 US. And if you're a tester, then you get only $75,000 US per year. The main barriers to effective cloud delivery include selling the cloud concept to customers, I can understand that, 32%, and keeping employees trained and up to date with new technology, again, another challenge, and that's 31%.
Cool. All right, I see.
One more.
Yep. All right. I did say sales and marketing. So marketing is in there, but go on.
One more. Free. Do you like free stuff?
Oh, generally.
Okay. All right. Well, you know our SQL Server on premises, Microsoft SQL Server.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know Azure SQL, which is in the cloud. It's platform based.
I have heard of it.
Okay, and you know how you can sort of migrate databases from SQL Server on-premise up to Azure SQL. There is actually a migration tool and different ways you can get your databases up there.
Yeah.
Now, it's not as easy as just migrating the database, although technically it is, but in the scheme of things, probably not, because you've got to think about other things, right? Like as in Greg Lowe was talking about applications talking to the database and the way applications are written by developers, it could be, might not be sort of taken into consideration the latency involved. I mean, an application talking to a database on-premises versus a database in the cloud, there's extra latency introduced all of a sudden, and the application may not be able to behave as it should do normally, and so there'll be a different experience to the user when it's all moved to the cloud. Now, with that in mind, moving databases or migrating them as is from an on-premise SQL Server to the Azure SQL platform, there is a free ebook which has been released online. It's called Migrating SQL Server Databases to Azure, and it goes through all the steps of getting started with SQL Server and Azure Virtual Machines and also SQL Azure on the platform, They've got screenshots, takes you through steps. You learn all about how Azure SQL is different to SQL Server on-premises, and also to the differences between the two. There's not that many differences I'm hearing. It's only like minor differences. And in fact, I think it's very much like for like these days. But basically, you've got to take all the different features into consideration, what's basically on-premises versus in the cloud, because you might have different versions and things like that. So this book, a link to it in the show notes, will basically walk you through the whole process and the idiosyncrasies of migrating SQL Server databases from on-premises to Azure.
All right. Well, I think that we've covered a huge amount of information and updates for people. So I think we probably need to let people get on with the rest of their day and actually generate some revenue so they can attend the next Ignite coming in 2018. Fingers crossed. How can people get in contact with us, Mark? What's the best way?
As you said before, there's Facebook, which is N2K Podcast. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. And there's also Twitter, which is, again, same thing, at N2K Podcast. And there's me, which is at Mark Keane, MarkKean, on Twitter. And Rob, I think yours is?
Director CIA. I think it's time to call an end to this Need to Know podcast. We will do a shout out to thank all those people who came on and did our Ignite podcast, all the presenters. I think they really made some difference there and also helped a lot of people with the information they shared. Probably something we're not going to inflict on ourselves or organise a bit earlier next time, don't you think, Mark?
Yeah, that's right.
We maybe overestimated the power or the time it would take to get that, but we managed to do it, so it's a big check in the box. We thank everybody for taking the time to listen to the episodes, work through them. Please don't hesitate to let us know what you thought and enjoyed the most, and we'll see if we can get that person on again.
The email address we forgot, we should add in there as well, which is feedback@needtoknow.cloud.
And let us know so that we can look to get those people on the podcast again. Hopefully we'll be able to show some really interesting guests coming up, get back into a bit of a normal cadence, and we appreciate people. So don't forget to let us know. Give us any feedback. We're here. We're listening. We're looking to interact with people. And I think from me, that's about all I've got. What about yourself, Mark?
Well, I'll let people know the link if they want to look at all the podcasts online. It's podcasts.needtoknow.cloud. So that'll take you through to all the podcasts what we've got, and also the email address, which is feedback@needtoknow.cloud.
Excellent. Well, I think we better wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.